from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I've been thinking about this all afternoon.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. With the biggest stories of the day, it's the Big Three at three. Number one.
10 hits for the Astros tonight with that infield hit by Chaz. That one was a strike. 2-0 pitch kind of changed the whole at bat, and the Astros go down to the Pirates tonight. 6-2. They've dropped the last three here at home. They are out of first place for the first time since prior to the All-Star break.
Damn. Not Callis. Just really swung that. I mean, he knocked it out quick, didn't he?
Well, this is not good.
They've lost three straight. Yeah,
I like it. Rip that Band-Aid off.
Yeah, he
off,
does. Tough one last night, and they've lost the first two games of this series. Like you said, losing the finale to the Dodgers, that's three in a row. And I think last night was just, you know, you have baseball happens moments. You know, you get a team that's playing well. Yesterday just felt like sloppy from the Astros. Just how many errors they have? At least three. Three errors last night. I mean, Hunter Brown, you talk about somebody carrying it with him. When he threw that ball away at first, I mean, I am glad it finally hit him to go cover third, because he looked like he threw it. Oh, my God. He threw his hand up in the air. Then he finally got a hold of himself and went cover third. But that was what last night was. Very disappointing. Really sloppy. Like, they hit the ball hard at times, but many times there was soft contact that they was getting through. I mean, they set up one inning on two choppers that just found the right spot to set up a first and third, and then you helped them out with errors. So last night was just kind of frustrating, because it felt like, you know, the Pirates, they've been all right, but it felt like the Astros really shot themselves in the foot repeatedly last night.
Yeah, that's always a tough one to watch. And the Astros, whether it's errors in the field or Altuve on the bases, boy, it can get frustrating in a hurry. So, look, they need to right the ship tonight. They positioned themselves with that run at the end of the first half of the season. They positioned themselves to have a little bit of wiggle room in terms of you don't have to win every damn series, and you don't have to make some crazy run to make this all make sense. Boy, getting swept at home can't be something that they allow to happen. Tonight's big.
Yeah, it is. You just right now, you've already, like you said, they're out of first place now. The Mariners have jumped up.
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Oh, we got some breaking news, Tyler. What's the latest?
Yes, the roster moving and shaking for the Astros, and Dana Brown isn't over after yesterday. There's been a roster move for the Houston Astros, headlined by this fact. The Astros, they have DFA'd relief pitcher Rafael Montero, a name we have grown to know quite well the last two seasons for the Astros. He's been DFA'd. The full move here, recently acquired pitcher Kikuchi, he's going to be made available later on this afternoon. The Astros go on to say that Seth Martinez is going to AAA Sugarland.
Damn.
And Houston has designated pitcher Rafael Montero to make room for Ferguson and Kikuchi over there at Minute Maid Park with the Astros.
Yeah, Seth couldn't finish an inning yesterday, and he's going to Sugarland, and they have DFA'd Rafael Montero, and that is the other piece to the big moves they made two off seasons ago, giving Montero, what was it? What did he get, 11 a year? Giving Montero
more than he should.
Yeah, like 11 a year, and then Abreu in that same offseason. Well, both of them, they've decided to eat whatever's left on the contract, eat the money, and just move on from those guys. So Rafael Montero, a guy that has they've tried to make work. They've tried to find roles. They've tried to fit just like they did with Abreu, and they finally had to let him go.
That's as I said before, every time we talk about Montero, that is one that just puzzles me, man.
He's DFA. I bet you somebody going to pick him up that's a team that's a contender that's going to try to see if we can get him fixed a little bit.
Well, I'm telling you, if I were with the team, I damn sure would. I'm good with what the Astros did, by the way, but I'm just saying, like, every time he's on the bump, the stuff he has up there, I'm like, man, this is good. This is good. This is going to be a good outing. And next thing, I mean, I can't no more get it out of my mouth and somebody's hitting the ball out of the park. It's unbelievable, man. So, I understand how the Astros did it. It was just a hard one for me to wrap my head around, man. He had to be tipping his damn pitches every the last 2 years. Not the last two outings, the last 2 years.
That's a lot of years. That's a long time to be tipping.
Not be able to figure it out, huh? I mean, it's unbelievable, man. I mean, because they don't just hit that dude. Oh, I mean, I can't remember the last time he went out there and didn't get – I mean, look, whether he got in and out of the inning or not is irrelevant, but I'm talking about every ball is hit on the damn button. Every single one, it seems like.
If he's a guy that if he goes in high leverage situations, like, it's just cross your fingers and hope.
Oh,
hope
there ain't no
hope
doubt.
He gets out of it. There's not any confidence. There's a cross your fingers, hope he hits it to somebody. Or somebody gets wild.
Hit it right at somebody,
or
please.
Or somebody gets wild and swings over, whatever. Like that's – but to the point you made, this is something they probably had to do, man. You know, you got to eat some of that contract. That's something they had to do. They had to move through here. And maybe this Caleb Ferguson kid who they got from the Yankees can give them a better shot down there. Because I think something that Dana Brown did say – I think that is very fair, is they have been wearing those three out in the back end. And that was a concern. I remember Robert Flores, who's going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes or so, before the season said, well, you got to have other people so you don't just ride those guys and you know, get their arms tired out and use them so much. Hopefully they get somebody to kind of run in front of them and they don't have to use them as much. Because Rafael Montero damn sure wasn't trusted to be it. He couldn't be that. Kikuchi is going to, I think we'll hear more from him with the media, but he did say it's a championship team, first and foremost, his first thoughts of joining the Houston Astros. So he's ready to go. By the way, he's got some pressure on him. I don't know if he realizes it or knows it, but he's got some pressure on him.
Oh, I can't.
But I don't know if he understands how people in Houston feel about the move. But I'm telling you, he might get booed out of Minute Maid if he slipped into a three-run first inning.
Yeah, it could be rough. There ain't no doubt it could be rough.
Or Dana might.
I haven't looked forward to a start in a long time like this. It's clearly, the organization sees something that the majority of people in our industry, in the media world, don't see. Clearly, they see something that the back of the baseball card does not offer. Right? Clearly, there is. I mean, the anticipation of him taking the mound for the first time as an Astro has got to be through the roof. Whether you hate watching or you think it's going to turn out good.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The next, his start, people are rocking and rolling for it. Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be a big one. By the way, the lineup is out today, in which, as you said, they can't get swept today. Lineup is out today. Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez is in left field. Diaz is catching. Pena, Singleton, Myers, Caratini, who, by the way, side note, Caratini was taking grounders at first base yesterday.
Just a little sip.
And then coming off his two-hit performance. Don't look now, but Chaz McCormick is hitting .215. So he is in the lineup in right field tonight. So we'll see if they can avoid getting swept by the Pirates.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the Texans, as we've talked about it, they're going to head to Kent. We're going to follow them. They're going to head to Canton, Cleveland area to face the Bears tomorrow night. By the way, it has been announced that the Bears aren't playing starters. Also, according to Aaron Wilson, he says that C.J. Stroud and most starters aren't going to be playing in the game. Davis Mills, Damian Pierce, John Metchie should get a lot of time. Who are you? We know who's not going to play for sure, but who are you looking at that you are really pumped and excited to see, even in, you know, a game that's not one where a lot of guys that are going to be on this team.
Look, I'm pumped and excited to see a bunch of guys. John Metchie's one of them, absolutely. A lot of talk about what we have and haven't seen, a lot of disagreement of what we have and haven't seen. He's going to get some run, and I think it's going the proof is in the pudding. I'm anxious to see. I hope he does well. I hope his story ends well. But there ain't nobody out there that I'm more anxious to watch than Damian Pierce. One, I think he could have a bigger role than one would think with this football team. I mean, Joe Mixon can't carry the load by himself. Damian Pierce, a 2022 version of Damian Pierce would be absolutely beautiful for this backfield in Houston and this running game in Houston this next year. So Damian Pierce, for me, I think he's going to get a lot of run early on. I mean, it just makes too much sense. If you look at kind of what he went through last year and kind of what he's done with his body and supposedly he's got his head right and his body right and all this kind of stuff.
To see if he picks up the system better or whatever.
Well, with Damian Pierce, you can't wait a month into camp. You can't wait another 2 weeks and go, oh, well, he just ain't picked it up. It's like last year, boy, he ain't really made any progress. Yeah, he's lost a couple pounds, but he ain't made no progress. He's still the same Damian Pierce that nobody thinks can run outside zone. Right, I mean, you need to get him some run and make sure that he is a solid backup and really a guy that you can lean heavily on if something is to happen with Joe Mixon. Just like last year, Damian Pierce was supposed to be the guy. Something happened. I think it's still a mystery. It didn't work out. So you look up Devin Singletary's right there. Boom, he's the guy that can carry the load for you. You got to have that in a backup running back. Is Damian Pierce that guy? And I think he gets a lot of run tonight. And could potentially show us some things.
I think for me, what I'm really intrigued to watch is a person who I think has a lot of pressure, and that's Davis Mills.
Oh.
Davis Mills and the Tim Boyle situation, the quarterback situation, I think that's maybe one of the battles in camp that's up for grabs that can change, right? They're going to have, what, 4 preseason games to play, and – you know, I want to know who is going to – I'm interested to see who is clearly going to look like they are, you know, the better guy. Who is going to clearly look like, hey, this group looks – or this guy looks like he's the better one. Because, listen, that position is extremely important. The backup quarterback, it's not something worth talking about until most teams have to eventually start to talk about it. Because – more times than not, a quarterback has to miss a game or two. As we watch, the Texans have to have CJ out for 2+ games last year. So for me,
we don't like that.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what that looks like. Do we come out of Friday's game when we get back on here and we do the show on Friday? Are we going to be sitting there saying, "Boy, it's clear, hey, Davis Mills is playing better than Tim Boyle," or Case Keenum, if he does play, is playing better? That quarterback situation is going to be something I'm really eager to watch coming up on.
Yeah, no, I'm that's always the thing, right? I mean, especially when you got an undisputed starter who's not going to play much, if at all, in the preseason in CJ Stroud. I mean, hell, I'm the quarterback competition, to your point. I mean, it's not important until it is.
Yep.
And if the backup quarterback for the Houston Texans is going to be a guy that when they need him the most, They decide, not because he played bad in a half of football, they decide that they're going to start the third stringer from jump. And last year, I can understand why you did it, because we've seen some case previous years where you thought, okay, knows the system, clearly he's got total command of the system, where Davis Mills has just been introduced to it. But a year and a half in, if there's still it's highly likely that you just bypass Davis Mills and go to Case Keenum, if that's still the situation you're in, then, man, you've got to really, really evaluate this second string spot, which, and I don't know if Boyce is the guy or not.
Boyle.
I don't know if Boyle's the guy or not, but I know it wouldn't take a whole hell of a lot to impress.
Yeah, and we should see. And to the point you're making, Davis Mills should be ahead of a Tim Boyle. In his years and his time in the system, he should be ahead of a Tim Boyle.
Big 3 at 3. Number 3.
All right, some more concrete news on the injury. Joe Mixon, this has been reported by Aaron Wilson, Pro Bowl running back Joe Mixon, making steady progress in recovery from minor quad muscle injury and is on track to resume practicing during preseason as his activity continues to ramp up. So we saw him working out yesterday a lot. We heard it was soft tissue, didn't have a clear understanding of where it is, and so now it's a quad. It's a quad situation. I wonder if the next time we actually will see Joe Mixon.
Yeah, well, look, I saw him sitting on the ground rubbing his quad the last time we saw him on the practice field before he did his media session, right? So I figured it had something to do with that quad, that hip flex or something. Given that, the way in which there were no trainers dealing with him or anything, I was pretty sure it wasn't too serious. And then I saw Joe Mixon run across the field yesterday to meet Jawar Jordan, a little running back, rookie running back, after he had a good, nice little run for a touchdown. And if you're talking about a guy that the trainers and the team is worried about in terms of a leg injury, he damn sure didn't look like it. He ran his ass across that field, jumped up and down and celebrated and turned around and just jogged right back.
Yeah.
And he got a nice prance when he jogs too. It ain't the drag defeat and it's a prance now. It's a full blown prance and he's doing it all the way across that field. So yeah, Joe's good, man. I ain't worried about Joe.
Prance. I feel like I used to prance off the field, but I was tired.
You felt like you were prancing.
I'm not sure it looked like flat tires occurring.
Well, I mean, you have clearly if you were once a prancer, you've clearly lost.
It was a slow moving prance.
The showman.
I mean, we've all probably pranced at some point.
I don't know that I've ever been a prancer, guys. I don't know if the stride's ever been pretty.
Dead tired, right off. It felt like. Well, I'm not moving real fast here.
I mean, he's up on the balls of his toes, man. Looks like old Clydesdale walking down the street. You know, I don't know that any of us three have ever been that level of prancer.
Oh, I've pranced.
Get off the field. I'm trying.
Prancing as quick as I can.
Ugly, don't talk back. Get your ass off the field.
Oh, I didn't talk back. I said it to myself.
Yeah,
I'm filled with style.
All right, all right, coming up, man, these two guys, we talked about it already. We think two guys in the secondary should play Kamari Lassiter and Jalen Petrie. But if they're going against the Bears twos and threes, what should be the expectation of how they look if they play tomorrow? We'll discuss that coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you ready for Thursday's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Jags at the Houston 21. Bethard shotgun. Hasty to his left. Bunch formation right. Here's the snap. Bethard over the middle. And it's intercepted. Petrie with it across the 15 and down at the 19-yard line. Petrie dove for it and got the pick. And the Texans have the rock.
Go ahead, Mark. Get a lot of that, baby. Go ahead, Vandy. He dove for it.
Yes!
Yeah, had that thing. All right, listen. We both agreed that Lassiter and Petrie... we hope that they play tomorrow. We think that it'd be good for them as the roles they're going in. It looks like they're going to be the starters going into week one, but this is new for both of them. One, this is new for Petrie in the NFL to play exclusively nickel, which it looks like he's been practicing, and then obviously Kamari Lassiter coming from Georgia and into the NFL. But if they're playing against twos and threes, if they're playing against the Bears' second string, the Bears' third string, let's say they pull series or so, understanding what they're going to be called and asked to do here and the roles they're going to be playing as starters, how should they look tomorrow? How should they look August 1st against a team like the Bears 2s and 3s? Should there be a certain expectation of how those two would look playing against those?
No, not really. I mean, look, I think you, as a defender, you can only deal with what comes at you. Now I do expect them obviously to look clean, look confident, play with a certain level of swagger. Not get whether it's man or zone, not get beat. Convincingly get beat, not even once against a bunch of 2s and 3s. You'd like to obviously win more battles than you lose. If they come out and throw the ball underneath you, okay, so be it. If a tight end or somebody beats Petrie to the flats and they get a little 3-4 yard gain, that's fine. But we can't have with Petrie, you can't have missed tackles. And really, with Petrie, you just the missed opportunities. And I'm not talking about like opportunities to just make a play. We were watching that Baltimore game, the playoff game where the Texans looked rough
in the second half.
We were watching that game last Thursday in Buffalo Wild Wings. And, you know, you forget about some of the plays, but there's a bang-bang play. I can't remember if it's the second quarter or third quarter. But it's a bang-bang play where it's still a tight ball game and Petrie gets two hands on the ball and damn near intercepts it. Yeah. I mean, you look back last year, there was probably four plays where Petrie is right in position to make the play and just didn't finish it, right? Which happens. I'm just explaining, like, he's got a knack and he's got these instincts that put him in place to make a ton of plays. And I'm talking like game-changing type plays. Big-time sacks, big-time tackles for loss, big-time turnovers in the red zone, and he just hasn't been able to finish. And so with Petrie, what I'm looking for, to be honest with you, is a good, clean, however long he plays, good, clean couple of drives, 2-3 drives. And if the opportunity presents itself, finish it, man. Finish it, right? And Lassiter, look, I think for Lassiter, for me, it's just, it is the be where you're supposed to be and be a dog, is it enough, right? Is it enough to be confident in him starting, being the starting corner right now? And so what he's got to do is, like I said, go out there, keep everything in front of you. Go out there, keep everything in front of you. Break down heel on everything like we've seen you do recently, and just don't get ran by.
Yeah, Clint, they have to clearly look like they're handling guys like Tyler Scott, DeAndre Carter, Velus Jones. These are the guys that are the backups for the Bears as receivers.
Yeah.
Dante Pettis, Colin Johnson. Like, they've gotta handle those guys to the point you said they can't get beat. Like, they have to look like, not that they are, to me, because if you're, like, we're not just grading them as, you know, as a rookie or something. We're grading them as guys right. that are going to be ready to cover.
Well, they're going to have to be put
know,
in.
Starters.
They're going to have to be put in man situations with them for them to just dominate or manhandle. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I'd like to see it, but I just don't know if that's going to happen.
If it does happen, wherever, if they're in coverage and they are playing those guys, they should be winning those battles. They should be winning those battles to me. And
there ain't no doubt they should win it. Whatever battle they're put in, they should win it.
Because of what the expectation is of their position. Right? Like, this is not, they aren't going to be looking at covering twos right now.
Yeah.
More consistently. They are going to be starters, opposite corners, and they are going to be guys that are going to be targeted. right now. Teams, when they look at passing the football, and they're Shane Steichen's probably going to try and test non-Derek Stingley. I would imagine, and they were going to, and they're going to try to put certain matchups together, and so they should, against backups for 2s and 3s, they should be able to win those battles.
Agreed.
To me, that's the
expectation. Whatever win means, I agree. Whatever situation they're put in, win absolutely.
All right, let's get our guy, H-Town native. You hear him every morning on MLB Central. He has been with MLB TV for a long, long time. Robert Flores, he's going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Astros, and he's got some strong thoughts on the deadline, and in particular how some Astros fans are feeling about the loss of Joey Loperfido. We'll hear from Our guy, Ruffalo, Robert Flores, coming up next.
Faded as hell right now.
We're on the road to Canton, getting you ready for Thursday's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As a lot going on, as you heard there, we are headed to Cleveland, Canton tomorrow. We'll be covering not only the Hall of Fame game, but the Hall of Fame ceremony with Andre Johnson, the first player to go in for the Houston Texans. No, nobody will cover it quite like Sports Radio 610, so we'll be there heading there. So a lot going on, and a lot going on with the Astros as the deadline ends, and a lot of conversation, a lot of people with thoughts, and I would say for the most part, the majority of it was they did not like what the Astros gave up, did not like the deadline quite as much as Dana Brown, the general manager, said, as he said he felt like we had a strong deadline, his words about what the Astros did. And no better to have our guy Robert Flores. You catch him every morning on MLB Central on MLB on MLB TV. You can catch him every single morning. And I know you've had some thoughts on this with the Astros. What's your feeling overall before you rip people about their feelings on Joey Loperfido? What's your feelings overall with what the Astros did at the deadline to help their team?
Well, my feeling overall is that I think it's important to look at maybe the work that wasn't done this past offseason. Mm. If we want to go back, yes, they signed Hader. I thought all along that they should have been all over the veteran starting pitching market. They should have been all over Seth Lugo. They should have been all over Michael Wacha. Because I think if you do that, it doesn't then put you in the position that they found themselves in. Yes, injuries are a big part of that. But in this nature of the state of Major League Baseball and MLB pitching, I feel like you almost have to expect injuries at this point, especially when one of your, you know, quote unquote, or not quote unquote, he is, when healthy, one of your anchors of your rotation is a 40-something year old pitcher. No doubt Justin Verlander's headed to the Hall of Fame whenever he decides to hang it up. 5 years later, he's going into Cooperstown. But he's also 41 years old. So I just feel like, if you go back a few months before the season started, it really put them behind the eight ball and found that's one of the reasons they were put in this position. That being said, I want to read you something here. Our research staff at MLB Network is among the best I've ever worked with. So they went back and looked from 2013 to 2023. So that's 11 seasons. They compiled prospects traded at the deadline who became impact players. Now, the term impact players was judged by Dan O'Dowd. Dan O'Dowd is one of our analysts. He's a former Rockies GM, led them to the NL pennant, was Guardians front office, and they were running hot in the 90s. 633 prospects were traded at the deadline during that time span, 11 seasons. 23 of them became impact players. What do I mean by impact players? Players such as Yordan Alvarez, Gleyber Torres, Josh Naylor, O'Neill Cruz, Pete Fairbanks, Andres Munoz, Cole Reagans, Tyler O'Neill, CJ Abrams, Pablo Lopez. You get the idea. 23 of them went on to become impact players. That's less than 4%. 74 of them have become impact players or contributors, guys like on that list. So when I hear people, and I got one person, bless his heart, on Twitter telling me this was the worst trade in franchise history. I was like, you know, they traded away Joe Morgan. they traded away Kenny Lofton for Ed Tavancy. So I understand. Look, we know about prospects more than ever. We know about the rankings. We're informed. We see their stats. Hell, their games are on TV now. But I think it's important to have a little bit of context and just wait. Of the three players, you know, I like Luperfito. Athletic as hell. Tough, gritty kid. The Wagner kid, Billy Wagner's son, he might be the best of them all. But again, we just don't know. I had someone else say, you say Kikuchi, I mean, you trade for him, you send three prospects, he's not going to even get a start in the postseason. And I'm thinking, really? Because right now the Astros are in second. If they were to be fortunate enough to win the division, they're in the wild card round because they would more than likely, things could change, but as it stands now, the West Division winner has the worst record of all the division leaders in the American League. They would be matched up against either the Yankees or the Orioles. If the Astros are fortunate enough to win that series, they go straight into the division series. You don't think you're going to need starts from your fourth and fifth starter? So in that next round? So, like, again, I understand people's frustrations. I do think the price was a little steep, but I'm not ready to say that the Astros traded away Mickey Mantle, Tom Seaver, and you know, another Hall of Famer. I just think we need a little time. As far as the Montero move and news, I mean, look, it had to be done. But you look at the two contracts that were signed when the Astros didn't have a GM. That's Montero for 34.5, and that's Abreu for 58.5. You're still on the hook for those two contracts next year. My guess is that hot dogs at Minute Maid Park are going to be $75 a piece.
They're going to go up. They're going to get it somewhere.
Better not be on Wednesdays, Roflo.
Yeah, yeah. Jim Crane's got to get a little get back there. So I reached out because I wanted to come on today because, like I said, hoping to add a little bit more context.
Damn.
I know that's not always popular.
Roflo, that's really good. I love context. I love it. When just to recap, the 600 number you threw out there, we're talking prospects that are traded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying 4% of prospects that were traded over 11 years, which was 600 plus total, 4% of them actually turned into something. So let's just pump our brakes a little bit about getting all up in arms about prospects that are moving.
Yeah. And this is not to say that Joey Loperfito or Will Wagner or Blas couldn't turn into very productive major leaguers. Is there an all-star among the three? I don't know. I mean, there's not one that.
Well, hell, based on the numbers you just threw out there, I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah. So, I tell you what, Astro fans would have a real problem if AJ Preller was the GM. Let me tell you, because the JJ Preller who runs the Padres, this dude, he doesn't even bother to shake the draft picks' hands because he's like, look, I'm eventually going to trade you, so let's not get to know one another here. But. You know, it's just unfortunately the cost of doing business these days. And the Astros, unfortunately, were in a desperate, desperate need for starting pitching. Is Yusei Kikuchi the answer? I don't know. I don't know. Is he enough to put them over the top for a playoff or a World Series or deep run? I don't know. But they had to have something because what they had, I don't think was the answer.
What are your thoughts on him specifically, though? I mean, I know there's a lot of unknown, Robert, but I mean, I think Ron made the point, which I think it can be not Ron's point, but overall the outlook of Kikuchi could be a little bit misleading. Is if you just look at the quote unquote back of the baseball card, which had Seth Payne just flipping out yesterday morning, which I understand why, but then you go back and Ron did some digging and you find out his strikeout ability. He's one of the top strikeout guys in the league and yada, yada, yada.
And that's the key.
Yeah. Yeah. What are your thoughts on him and what are your thoughts on him specifically joining an organization that in the past has some level of pixie dust that they sprinkle on these guys and somehow get the best out of them?
No, I think that's a great point. And I understand Seth and other fans looking at the numbers and going, what the heck is going on here? I understand all that. But you bring it up, Clint. It's the swing and the miss. It's the strikeout. I know that Astros front office coveted that. And also they coveted the fact that he's a lefty and that I believe he has the highest – or second highest fastball velocity or average fastball velocity among left-handed starters. I know that's kind of a specific column there, but that matters. And swing and miss in the postseason is what you want. And you're right. I think the Astros should be commended for their track record of finding ways for guys to improve. And I'm sure that they're hoping that, hey, let's get him into our house. Let's get him into our clubhouse. Let's have him work with the people that you know, we work with, and let's see what he can do. I will say, when, you know, one of our analysts, Steve Phillips, brought up a pretty good point. Yusei had trouble adjusting when he came over from Japan. He had a little trouble adjusting when he came over to Toronto. So now he's being thrust into a brand new team under very different circumstances. So there certainly are challenges there. But again, did they overpay slightly? Yes. But did they need it? Yeah, they did. Unfortunately, they were desperate.
Robert, before we get you out here, let me get your thoughts on this real quick.
Sorry.
You watch everybody a lot more than our listeners do. You've seen Cleveland. You've seen more of the Yankees, more of the Orioles, the top teams, the Royals, the Red Sox, those teams that are in the Twins are in the playoff hunt. Does this Astros team feel like a team that can get to another ALCS? Like, when you look and compare them to the other teams, do they feel like they can get there? And I'm curious, really, did they feel like they can get there before the trade deadline? And has that changed for you since the trade deadline?
Well, let me answer that two ways. One, I know Mark DeRosa, who I work with on MLB Central, he visited when the Astros were in New York, and they were really struggling. This is when they were facing the Yankees, and they looked bad in the two losses. And he had a conversation with a handful of their signature players, and at the time they were like, "We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We're going to be okay." I think that, to answer your question, yes, that clubhouse believes that there's enough to get back to the ALCS, there's enough to get back to the World Series, and there's enough to win it. That being said, you guys know I'm a glass half empty guy to begin with. I think they're a little shy in the rotation, and they're a little shy in the bullpen. And I don't know Kyle Tucker's situation. I just don't know. That being said, if you had asked me on July 31st, 2023, hey, do you think the Texas Rangers and Arizona Diamondbacks will make it to the World Series? I would have been like, heck no. I think it's what this expanded playoff format has done, and the way the games are managed now. I think it really we have to change the way we look at teams and kind of evaluate teams and seasons. It's not just about winning a division anymore. It's not about that.
Just getting in.
It's just get in, let's get hot, and let's get going. So who's not to say that this group of Astros, part of just some prideful dudes that have done a lot of winning on the game's biggest stages, who's not to say that they can't get on a run and win it all again? You know, do I think so? Would I bet on them? No, I wouldn't. But I'm not going to totally count them out. It could happen, sure.
Nothing to get you. Get in, get hot, and get going.
That's it. That's
like
a t-shirt right
like
there.
Some new Kikuchi in H-Town, baby. Hey, I don't know
he's been ridiculous since the trade has happened.
I don't know they're gonna make on with Kikuchi on it, but I'm buying that damn thing.
New Kikuchi in town.
H-Town Kikuchi. Better than yours.
We 5 minutes, Roflo, into our segment yesterday, had to be informed by our boss to say his full name.
I gotta say his full name.
His full name. because Clint wouldn't let it get away from him.
Yeah, I have not received that edict yet, so you can bet the first time that he makes a start for the Astros, I will try to do that. hey, one thing I want to make a quick announcement too. MLB Network is now available for direct to consumer. So if your cable or satellite system doesn't have MLB Network, you can subscribe to MLB Network and stream it for as little as $5.99 per month. So go to MLBnetwork.com. If you're a baseball fan, you need it. You need our network. And if you don't have it, you should try to get it. So go to MLBnetwork.com for more information.
MLBnetwork.com for more information. That's Robert Flores. You can follow him at RoFlo on social media. Robert, we sure appreciate you, brother, once again.
Hey, you got it. Safe travels and enjoy Canton.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we will. We plan on it. All right, coming up next, we've got a little bit more news from the head coach, the manager, if you will, on that new Kikuchi in Houston. And, oh, Ferg. Dana talks about Ferg as well. And I'm going to run down a list of players to watch Thursday night. Players that you have to watch Thursday night. More than likely going to get some good run. These are guys that are going to get run, and assuming they play well, it's going to impact the Texans' regular season as well. We'll discuss all of that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Faded as hell right now.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you ready for Thursday's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As a lot going on, as you heard there, we are headed to Cleveland, Canton tomorrow. We'll be covering not only the Hall of Fame game, but the Hall of Fame ceremony with Andre Johnson, the first player to go in for the Houston Texans. No, nobody will cover it quite like Sports Radio 610, so we'll be there heading there. So a lot going on, and a lot going on with the Astros as the deadline ends, and a lot of conversation, a lot of people with thoughts, and I would say for the most part, the majority of it was they did not like what the Astros gave up, did not like the deadline quite as much as Dana Brown, the general manager, said, as he said he felt like we had a strong deadline, his words about what the Astros did. And no better to have our guy Robert Flores. You catch him every morning on MLB Central. On MLB TV, you can catch him every single morning. And I know you've had some thoughts on this with the Astros. What's your feeling overall before you rip people about their feelings on Joey Loperfido? What's your feelings overall with what the Astros did at the deadline to help their team?
Well, my feeling overall is that I think it's important to look at maybe the work that wasn't done this past offseason. Mm. If we want to go back, yes, they signed Hader. I thought all along that they should have been all over the veteran starting pitching market. They should have been all over Seth Lugo. They should have been all over Michael Wacha. Because I think if you do that, it doesn't then put you in the position that they found themselves in. Yes, injuries are a big part of that. But in this nature of the state of Major League Baseball and MLB pitching, I feel like you almost have to expect injuries at this point, especially when one of your, you know, quote unquote, or not quote unquote, he is, when healthy, one of your anchors of your rotation is a 40-something year old pitcher. No doubt Justin Verlander's headed to the Hall of Fame whenever he decides to hang it up. 5 years later, he's going into Cooperstown. But he's also 41 years old. So I just feel like if you go back a few months before the season started, it really put them behind the eight ball and found that's one of the reasons they were put in this position. That being said, I want to read you something here. Our research staff at MLB Network is among the best I've ever worked with. So they went back and looked from 2013 to 2023. So that's 11 seasons. They compiled prospects traded at the deadline who became impact players. Now the term impact players was judged by Dan O'Dowd. Dan O'Dowd is one of our analysts. He's a former Rockies GM, led them to the NL pennant, was Guardians front office, and they were running hot in the 90s. 633 prospects were traded at the deadline during that time span, 11 seasons. 23 of them became impact players. What do I mean by impact players? Players such as Yordan Alvarez, Gleyber Torres, Josh Naylor, O'Neill Cruz, Pete Fairbanks, Andres Munoz, Cole Reagans, Tyler O'Neill, CJ Abrams, Pablo Lopez. You get the idea. 23 of them went on to become impact players. That's less than 4%. 74 of them have become impact players or contributors, guys like on that list. So when I get hear people, and I got one person, bless his heart, on Twitter telling me this was the worst trade in franchise history, I was like, you know, they traded away Joe Morgan. they traded away Kenny Lofton for Ed Tavancy. So I understand, look, we know about prospects more than ever. We know about the rankings. We're informed. We see their stats. Hell, their games are on TV now. But I think it's important to have a little bit of context and just wait. Of the three players, you know, I like Luperfito. Athletic as hell. Tough, gritty kid. The Wagner kid, Billy Wagner's son, he might be the best of them all. But again, we just don't know. I had someone else say, you say Kikuchi, I mean, you trade for him, you send three prospects, he's not going to even get a start in the postseason. And I'm thinking, really? Because right now the Astros are in second. If they were to be fortunate enough to win the division, they're in the wild card round because they would more than likely, things could change, but as it stands now, the West Division winner has the worst record of all the division leaders in the American League. They would be matched up against either the Yankees or the Orioles. If the Astros are fortunate enough to win that series, they go straight into the division series. You don't think you're going to need starts from your fourth and fifth starter? So in that next round? So, like, again, I understand people's frustrations. I do think the price was a little steep, but I'm not ready to say that the Astros traded away Mickey Mantle, Tom Seaver, and you know, another Hall of Famer. I just think we need a little time. As far as the Montero move and news, I mean, look, it had to be done. But you look at the two contracts that were signed when the Astros didn't have a GM. That's Montero for 34.5, and that's Abreu for 58.5. You're still on the hook for those two contracts next year. My guess is that hot dogs at Minute Maid Park are going to be $75 a piece.
They're going to go up. They're going to get it somewhere.
Better not be on Wednesdays, Roflo.
Yeah. Jim Crane's got to get a little get back there. So I reached out because I wanted to come on today because, like I said, hoping to add a little bit more context.
Damn.
I know that's not always popular.
Roflo, that's really good. I love context. I love it. When just to recap, the 600 number you threw out there, we're talking prospects that are traded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying 4% of prospects that were traded over 11 years, which was 600 plus total, 4% of them actually turned into something. So let's just pump our brakes a little bit about getting all up in arms about prospects that are moving.
Yeah. And this is not to say that Joey Loperfito or Will Wagner or Blas couldn't turn into very productive major leaguers. Is there an all-star among the three? I don't know. I mean, there's not one that.
Well, hell, based on the numbers you just threw out there, I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah. So, I tell you what, Astro fans would have a real problem if AJ Preller was the GM. Let me tell you, because the JJ Preller, who runs the Padres, this dude, he doesn't even bother to shake the draft picks' hands because he's like, look, I'm eventually going to trade you, so let's not get to know one another here. But. You know, it's just unfortunately the cost of doing business these days. And the Astros, unfortunately, were in a desperate, desperate need for starting pitching. Is Yusei Kikuchi the answer? I don't know. I don't know. Is he enough to put them over the top for a playoff or a World Series or deep run? I don't know. But they had to have something because what they had, I don't think was the answer.
What are your thoughts on him specifically, though? I mean, I know there's a lot of unknown, Robert, but I mean, mm-hmm. I think Ron made the point, which I think it's it can be, not Ron's point, but overall the outlook of Kikuchi could be a little bit misleading. Is if you just look at the quote-unquote back of the baseball card, which had Seth Payne just flipping out yesterday morning, which I understand why, but then you go back and Ron did some digging and you find out his strikeout ability. He's one of the top strikeout guys in the league and yada, yada, yada.
And that's the key.
What are your thoughts on him, and what are your thoughts on him specifically joining an organization that in the past has some level of pixie dust that they sprinkle on these guys and somehow get the best out of them?
No, I think that's a great point. And I understand Seth and other fans looking at the numbers and going, what the heck is going on here? I understand all that. But you bring it up, Clint. It's the swing and the miss. It's the strikeout. I know that Astros front office coveted that. And also they coveted the fact that he's a lefty and that I believe he has the highest – or second highest fastball velocity or average fastball velocity among left-handed starters. I know that's kind of a specific column there, but that matters. And swing and miss in the postseason is what you want. And you're right. I think the Astros should be commended for their track record of finding ways for guys to improve. And I'm sure that they're hoping that, hey, let's get him into our house. Let's get him into our clubhouse. Let's have him work with the people that we work with, and let's see what he can do. I will say, one of our analysts, Steve Phillips, brought up a pretty good point. Yusei had trouble adjusting when he came over from Japan. He had a little trouble adjusting when he came over to Toronto. So now he's being thrust into a brand new team under very different circumstances. So there certainly are challenges there. But again, did they overpay slightly? Yes. But did they need it? Yeah, they did. Unfortunately, they were desperate.
Robert, before we get you out here, let me get your thoughts on this real quick.
Sorry.
You watch everybody a lot more than our listeners do. You've seen Cleveland. You've seen more of the Yankees, more of the Orioles, the top teams, the Royals, the Red Sox, those teams that are in the Twins are in the playoff hunt. Does this Astros team feel like a team that can get to another ALCS? Like when you look and compare them to the other teams, do they feel like they can get there? And I'm curious, really, did they feel like they can get there before the trade deadline? And has that changed for you since the trade deadline?
Well, let me answer that two ways. One, I know Mark DeRosa, who I work with on MLB Central, he visited when the Astros were in New York. And they were really struggling facing the Yankees and they looked bad in the two losses. And he had a conversation with a handful of their signature players. And at the time they were like, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We're going to be okay. I think that to answer your question, yes, that clubhouse believes that there's enough to get back to the ALCS. There's enough to get back to the World Series and there's enough to win it. That being said, you guys know I'm a glass half empty guy to begin with. I think they're a little shy in the rotation and they're a little shy in the bullpen. And I don't know Kyle Tucker's situation. I just don't know. That being said, if you had asked me this time, if you had asked me on July 31st, 2023, hey, do you think the Texas Rangers and Arizona Diamondbacks will make it to the World Series? I would have been like, heck no. I think it's what this expanded playoff format has done and the way the games are managed now. I think it really we have to change the way we look at player at teams and kind of evaluate teams and seasons. It's not just about winning a division anymore. It's not about that.
Just getting in.
It's just get in, let's get hot, and let's get going. So, who's not to say that this group of Astros, part of just some prideful dudes that have done a lot of winning on the game's biggest stages, who's not to say that they can't get on a run and win it all again? You know, do I think so? Would I bet on them? No, I wouldn't. But I'm not going to totally count them out. It could happen, sure.
Nothing to get you. Get in, get hot, and get going.
That's it. That's
like,
a t-shirt right
like
there.
Some new Kikuchi in H-Town, baby.
Stop.
Hey, I don't know what T-shirt.
He's been ridiculous since the trade has happened.
I don't know what T-shirt they're going to make on with Kikuchi on it, but I'm buying that damn thing.
New Kikuchi in town.
H-Town Kikuchi. Better than yours.
We 5 minutes, Roflo, into our segment yesterday had to be informed by our boss to say his full name.
I got to say his full name.
His full name because Clint wouldn't let it get away from him.
Yeah, I have not received that edict yet, so you can bet the first time that he makes a start for the Astros, I will try to do that. Hey, one thing I want to make a quick announcement too. MLB Network is now offer available for direct to consumer. So if your cable or satellite system doesn't have MLB Network, you can subscribe to MLB Network and stream it for as little as $5.99 per month. So go to MLBnetwork.com. If you're a baseball fan, you need it. You need our network. And if you don't have it, you should try to get it. So go to MLBnetwork.com for more information.
MLBnetwork.com for more information. That's Robert Flores. You can follow him at RoFlo on social media. Robert, we sure appreciate you, brother, once again.
Hey, you got it. Safe travels and enjoy Canton.
Absolutely. Hopefully we will. We plan on it. All right, coming up next, we've got a little bit more news from the head coach, the manager, if you will, on that new Kikuchi in Houston. And Ferg. Dana talks about Ferg as well. And I'm going to run down a list of players to watch Thursday night. Players that you have to watch Thursday night. More than likely going to get some good run. And these are guys that are going to get run. And assuming they play well, it's going to impact the Texans' regular season as well. We'll discuss all of that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.